Letters on abortion, trade, Chile and Bolivia, taxonomy, Pakistan, Willie Nelson.
Choice matter. Sir, your overview of abortion policies was timely, but failed to consider the significant economic costs associated with the 19 million unsafe abortions that are carried out each year around the globe, as reported by the World Health Organization. A question of life and death, May the 19th. One recent review found that, whereas abortion procedures are very safe when performed legally and properly, the cost to health systems of treating the 5.2 million women a year who experience serious medical complications from unsafe abortion procedures could be as high as $850 million. This is a conservative estimate of the total cost of unsafe abortions. It excludes the costs borne by women who seek informal care. Nor does it contain the productivity losses related to morbidity or mortality, including those related to the long-term health consequences of unsafe abortions, such as chronic pelvic infections, subfecundity, and infertility. The cost of treating complications arising from unsafe abortions is a burden on health systems throughout the developing world, where almost all unsafe abortions occur. It diverts scarce health resources and costs much more than the readily available policy alternatives of providing safe abortion and contraceptive services. Damien Walker, Johns Hopkins University, Michael Vlasov, independent consultant, Sushila Singh, Guttmacher Institute, David Newlands, University of Aberdeen, Josephine Borghi, London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
Sir, what a coincidence. The map of abortion laws in your article highlighted those countries that either prohibit abortion altogether or restrict it severely, and is almost identical to regions that are distressed from overpopulation. Nearly all those states are suffering severe social stress, ethnic tensions, and civil disorder. They include almost all of the countries that the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says will need food assistance this year. John Birmingham, Denver.
Trading rights. Sir, your analysis of the agreement reached between congressional Democrats and the White House over trade policy was not balanced in its assessment of what is actually a big step forward, a dubious deal May the 19th. America has laid to rest the myth that labour standards are protectionist. As labour standards are supposed to be applied universally, all member states to the International Labour Organization are committed by their very membership of the body to uphold them, it is difficult to see how they could be protectionist. Unions in Britain have been asking for years for someone to give an instance of when core labour standards have been used as a protectionist measure. No one has yet come up with a single example. The American labour movement has been unable to find one bilateral trade agreement that has foundered because of the inclusion of labour standards. Moreover, the suggestion that labour standards harm workers in developing countries is the same as suggesting that children in Britain once benefited from being sent up chimneys. Giving workers enforceable rights will speed development, not delay it. Brendan Barber, General Secretary, Trades Union Congress, London.
Gas for land. Sir, the solution to Chile's energy problems rests completely within its control, praying for rain, May 19th. Chile has the power both to alleviate its growing need for natural gas and to pave the way for improved relations with Bolivia, its Andean neighbour. The solution is simple and bold. Carve out a narrow corridor of Chilean land aside the Chile-Peru border and cede it permanently to Bolivia, in return for a comprehensive natural gas and trade agreement. Granting landlocked Bolivia access to the sea will mean Chile must forget the events of the 19th century. It would take enormous vision and political muscle, but the payoff is that Chile could go some way to fulfill its energy requirements. Dan Laurent, Charlotte, North Carolina.
The more the better. Sir, to discuss species diversity and taxonomy in the context of monetary inflation is a bit like watching a bank burn and observing that at least the remaining currency is gaining value. Hail Linnaeus, May the 19th. Except for one thing. When a species goes extinct, we cannot just print another. Moreover, even if one accepts your analogy, it takes radical inflation for people to stop caring about the conservation of currency. As the value of money declines slightly year to year, people do not typically respond by throwing it away. Your examples of polar bears and raccoons in the Bahamas show that species recognition counts in a similar manner. Simply, the public values species more than other categories of diversity. I like to dream of a world so full of diversity that the death of another species would be no great loss, or in which the difference between geographic variant and species would be less fateful. But it is just that, a dream. As it is, we are contributing to the greatest series of extinctions in the last 65 million years and likely condemning our closest relatives in the process. Our limited financial history provides no analogue for that. Charles Lockwood, Department of Anthropology, University College, London.
Double standards. Sir, you describe General Pervez Musharraf, Pakistan's president, as an enlightened sort of dictator, and stated that in a time of war and terror, Pakistan also needs the continuity and stability that he, the army's man and America's friend, has been able to provide. Time to cut a deal, May the 19th. This sort of reasoning has been used before to support thuggish regimes. General Augusto Pinochet was backed by the West on the grounds that he was saving Chile from communism and fostering economic growth. The results of shoring up that regime in terms of human rights abuses are well known. The West cannot claim to be in favor of promoting democracy and freedom and then turn a blind eye to allies that subvert these goals. In order to have the moral high ground, one must apply principles regardless of how convenient or inconvenient the outcome might be. You can simply choose realpolitik and abandon the pretense of morality, but you can hardly have it both ways without being a hypocrite. Esteban Asadurian, Dallas.
Crazy. Sir, how could you describe Texas's own Willie Nelson as a local country crooner? Venture Capital's May the 26th, with a bag full of platinum albums and tons of awards stretching over a career of more than 40 years, this co-organizer of Farm Aid and Tsunami Relief Concerts is no more a local country crooner than the Beatles were a Garston skiffle group. David Thomas, Raleigh, North Carolina.